seeking the Lord's help this morning, I would ask you to turn in God's Word to Mark chapter 13 and the passage that we read, Mark 13 verses 32 to 37. Mark 13 and verses 32 to 37, and I shall read again verse 33. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. My heading, title of this morning's sermon is Watch, Work and Pray. Watch, Work and Pray. We've been considering this 13th chapter for a number of weeks. It opens with Jesus going out of the temple, having delivered his last session of teaching in the temple before his crucifixion. And as they go out of the temple, one of his disciples says to him, "Look at the stones and the manner of the building that we have here." And Jesus answered, telling him that there would not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And then when they reach the Mount of Olives, the inner circle of Peter, James and John and Andrew ask him privately, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled?" And then Jesus gives them a lengthy answer, and he talks about the comings of wars and rumours of wars, but that the Christians should not be troubled because they need to pay attention most of all to the fact that they will be persecuted, that they will be delivered to councils in the synagogues, they would be beaten and brought before rulers and kings for my sake. He assures them of the Holy Ghost's help when they come into times of persecution. Then he begins to speak about the time, the abomination of the desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, who foretold the destruction of the temple and of the city of Jerusalem. And then as Jesus begins to speak of the terrible and horrific destruction of Jerusalem and the slaughter that would take place, he begins to speak about the last days. The days when there shall be such a tribulation that there will never have been before in the earth, such a time of severe suffering. And as he talks about the tribulation, he tells that after those days of severe tribulation, when we know that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is drawing near, there will be what I described 2 weeks ago as the post-tribulation tumult. The sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And we considered how the Lord Jesus Christ will come with all the holy angels, the redeemed spirits, and he shall gather together the elect from the four winds, from the four corners of the earth. He shall take them out of the earth to be with him. He will destroy the earth by fire, and then the new heaven and the new earth will be brought into existence, wherein dwells righteousness, and he will reign and rule in his kingdom. And then finally, in verse 31, Jesus reminds them, heaven and earth shall pass away. Heaven and the earth as we know it, this world, is ripening for that destruction and renewal by fire. But God's word shall last forever. God's promises will stand for eternity. While Jesus continues on this theme, and he tells us what we need to do in response to these truths that he has been teaching his disciples. And the first thing he tells us to do is to watch and pray. To watch and pray. He says, "But of that day," that is the day of the glorious return of the Lord Jesus Christ, "and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, But the Father, take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Now we need to be careful here, don't we? Because there will be visible signs of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do know, we shall know, when the return of Christ draws near, although we don't know the exact time. Jesus has already told them that the tribulation will be a very evident sign that the Lord Jesus Christ is soon going to appear. And especially when they see the calamities in the heavens, of the sun being darkened and the moon being turned to blood, then they'll know that the return of Christ is imminent. But I suggest that even before that final end time tribulation, there are signs that the world is ripening for judgment. In one of the parallel passages in Matthew 24, verses 11 and 12, Lord Jesus Christ says, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Now we are certainly in days when the love of many Christians is growing cold. There's a new book that's recently been published. I've not yet got it, but it's been written, and it says that for its title, "The Death of Western Christianity." It's by Patrick Sakido of Barnabas Fund. And he may well be right. The title is very dramatic, but it's a true title. Western Christianity is in a state of dying because iniquity abounds in our Western civilization and the love of many Christians is growing cold. In 2 Timothy, in Paul's final letter that he wrote, he says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Now, a look at history suggests there were times when there were very evil men, and those who seduced people away from the true Christ and from true religion. But we live in a day, we have lived in a day, when evil men and seducers grow worse and worse. In the final chapter of 2 Timothy chapter 4 we read, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." And that especially is true as we look around on the Christian scene, especially in North America and in other parts of the world. And to some extent here in the United Kingdom, people don't want to hear faithful sermons preached from the Bible. They want stories and drama and things that will tickle their ears and things that won't challenge them to live according to the Bible. And they turn away from the truth. And they go to places where they just hear fables and where the truth is never preached. We are living in days when the world is surely ripening for judgment. And these things suggest, although I cannot be categorical, of course, that we are moving towards that final end time tribulation. It is clearly, though, something that only God himself knows. The actual hour, the actual day of the return of Christ, we are told very clearly, is known only to God. No man knows it, but not even the angels. And we think of the angels, holy beings, serving the Lord in his immediate presence, going on those errands of mercy and love to the Lord's people, ministering to God's elect. But they don't know. Now here Jesus says, "Neither the Son." And of course this refers to the human nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was truly man. As the Son of God, he did know, and he does know, when he will return in his divine nature, but here he expresses himself as in his humanity, and in that he doesn't know when the Lord Jesus Christ, when he himself will return. Of course, some people say, well, this means Jesus is inferior to God. He doesn't know all things. How can he claim to be the co-equal, co-eternal Son of God? And yet in John chapter 11, in the account of Lazarus, we clearly see these different aspects of the divine and the human nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember, Jesus was quite a long way from Bethany. And he told his disciples, Lazarus sleepeth. And then he clarified, Lazarus is dead. No one had told him. But he knew it because of his divine nature. And yet when he gets to Bethany and he's with Martha and Mary, he asks them, where have they laid him? Showing his humanity. Well, we must be sure and clear that the Lord Jesus Christ in his divine nature knows very well when he's coming back. But Jesus, in these two verses, 32 and 33, makes very clear, of that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven. And I suggest to you this morning, there are at least three consequences of this truth of not knowing the precise hour. And the first is, we should not try to predict the end of the world. Nor should we believe anyone else's prediction. I have an American colleague at work, and she's very good at doing her research, and she tells me occasionally, Friday's going to be the end of the world. Of course, she's joking, but she's come up with some stupid American preacher who says that Friday's going to be the end of the world, and they change their prediction when it doesn't happen. And sadly, there are people that believe these crazy preachers, and they sell their homes and their cars waiting and ready for the end of the world to happen. They clearly have not read and understood this passage, because we should not try and predict the end of the world or believe anyone else's prediction. But the second consequence is, it is an encouragement to Christians in all ages. It's an encouragement for us to think that the Lord Jesus Christ may return soon. In the final chapter of the book of Revelation, the final chapter of the New Testament, the whole Bible, John says, he which testifieth these things says, surely I come quickly, amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. It was even an encouragement to the New Testament believers, those who were still alive within the decades following the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, to think of the second coming of their Lord and Saviour. Paul, in writing to the church at Thessalonica, says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And they look forward to the glorious return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church fathers, Augustine, and others anticipated the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The reformers, the Puritans, the Victorian Christians look forward with great anticipation, and so must we. And then the third and most important, perhaps, consequence of this truth is that it should cause us to watch and pray. And that is what Jesus tells us. In verse 33, take ye heed, pay attention, watch and pray, because you don't know when the time is. And as Christians, we should be looking and interested in what is happening in the world around us. We should take an interest in the church of Jesus Christ and what is happening in the church all over the world. Now, that's not to say that we should have an all-consuming interest in current affairs to the exclusion of practical living in the present. But we should look forward with eager anticipation. And we should wait joyfully, not despairingly, Because the Lord Jesus Christ is definitely coming again. And that is what Paul wrote to the Hebrews. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. What does watch and pray mean? It means to be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be ready means that we have repented of our sin and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll remember that well-known sermon of the Apostle Paul in the Greek capital city of Athens. And he says, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Why, Paul, do you say God now commands all men everywhere to repent? Well, the Apostle Paul goes on in his sermon, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Paul's argument to the Athenians that stood before him, those learned men who loved to philosophize and to dispute and argue with one another and worship all these gods, he says, you better repent, because God's appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, by the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch and pray also means be careful to live a life that is pleasing to God. Just a page over, or maybe on the same page in your Bibles, Mark 14, verse 38. Jesus tells his disciples, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. It's exhorting us to live a life that is underpinned by prayer. A life in which we bring up our children on our knees. A life in which our church life is a subject of constant prayer. A life in which our work is covered with prayer. Watch and pray. And then secondly, work and watch. Work and watch. Jesus illustrates his teaching with a parable in verses 34 through to verse 36. And he says in verse 34, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Who is the master of the house? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's gone back to heaven, to the place of glory at the right hand of the Father. And he's left his disciples and his followers behind. He's given them the Holy Spirit to guide them and to lead them into all truth, and to comfort them and to convict them. But essentially, the people of God are to do what God tells us in his word. He's given us authority in his church. He's entrusted us with the work of spreading the gospel. What a responsibility. What a trust has been given to the church. And we are not to abuse that trust. And he's given to every believer their work. He's apportioned work for each one of his children. Every child of God has a part to play in the work of the church. And that is clear from the parable. He gave authority to his servants and to every man his work. And where we meet with the word man, faithfully translated from the Greek, it means women as well. A church that is at work for the glory of God is a church that is fulfilling the great commission that Christ gave to his disciples. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has not renounced the command, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There is still plenty of work for us to do to reach out with the gospel to old and young, rich and poor in this neighbourhood. There's plenty of work associated with caring for one another and helping each other. There's plenty to do in the upkeep of this place of worship. And as we look at the scene of the church, there are plenty of places, even here in the United Kingdom and all over the world, which lack a sound witness to the truth of the gospel. And we are to keep these things in mind, continually praying, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He's given authority to his servants and to every man his work. Are you willing to serve in the church of Jesus Christ? What a blessing to serve in one way or another. Think of the attitude of the Apostle Paul when he was first converted. "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And that is a good prayer for the young people. I'm thankful that some of the young people love to serve. Be eager to serve and to help in the church. Don't sit back and do nothing, because if you take that attitude when you are young, it'll stick for the rest of your life. But the Lord Jesus Christ has given authority to his servants and to every man his work. Paul dealt with this truth in the Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. A church which is working together is like a sound body in which all the bones and the joints are functioning and the work of the Lord is moved forward. Perhaps Paul had in mind these verses from Mark that we're considering this morning as he wrote to the Ephesians. In Ephesians verse 4, verses 11 and 12, he says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." But notice, in addition to the general distribution of work, the Lord Jesus Christ also established a particular task. At the end of verse 34, "and commanded the porter to watch." It's a particular task, a porter or a doorkeeper. Who are these? These are the pastors and ministers who have oversight of the congregations of the people of God. And Jesus has given them a particular brief to be watchful. They are to keep out of the house of God those things and those people who would be harmful. I read this morning from Ezekiel chapter 33. Turn with me back to Ezekiel chapter 33. And in particular verse 7. Ezekiel 33 verse 7. God is speaking to Ezekiel. "So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me." In the early days of my pastoral ministry, both my late Uncle Seth and my late father reminded me of these words, that I am a watchman. And all pastors and elders and bishops and overseers all have this great responsibility to watch and to warn the people of God. there to warn the wicked to flee from his sin and to turn to the living God. And you've heard me do that. And there to warn the backsliding Christian to repent and to return to the Lord and to their first love. And I trust you've heard me do that. There to warn generally of the heresies that exist within the professing church. Because those things are to be avoided and shunned and kicked out of the church. And the watchman is to warn of the dangers coming from outside the church that would seek to enter in. Because we face a danger all the while that the philosophies and thinking of the world will seep into the church. And every true sent servant of God should have a warning aspect to his ministry. I know some don't like it very much, but that is part of the ministry that God gives to the porters, the doorkeepers in the church. Pastors and ministers are to be watchmen for the church. I don't know if many of you have been to Drusilla Zoo in recent years or some other zoo, and you find that they'll have small mongooses called meerkats, often in a concrete enclosure. And even in that unnatural environment, there'll always be at least one meerkat. He's bolt upright and he's looking and he's watching. And if even creatures like meerkats make sure one of their number is watching and sounds a warning when a bird of prey or some other threat approaches, God has also provided pastors and ministers to be watchmen. Of course, one of the greatest parts of the warning ministry is to preach the gospel. Because in that following verse, Ezekiel 33 verse 8, we have a very solemn warning. Ezekiel 33 verse 8, "When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand." The Apostle Paul could say to those in the church at Ephesus, "I am pure from the blood of all men. And I do not want to have your blood required at my hand in that day when Christ returns." My final heading this morning, my third one, is watch. As we go on to the final three verses, 35 to 37, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Watch ye therefore." And we've looked at some of the reasons why we should watch. But Jesus gives us a further reason to watch in verse 35. "Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning." Of course, that fits in with verse 32. "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man." We know the signs of the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the end time tribulation, the post-tribulation tumult. But we don't know the actual hour. But it seems that the Lord Jesus Christ may come in the night, because the four timings given relate to the four watches of the night that were used in those times. Jesus says, the master of the house may come at even, in the evening, 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock. He says, or at midnight, 9 o'clock to 12 midnight. Or at the cock crowing, 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the morning. Or in the morning, 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Peter says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, it may not be literally in the night, but what Jesus is trying to get into our understanding is that the day of the Lord will come unexpectedly. And for many, that day will come unwanted and unlooked for. In Revelation 16, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth." And really blessed. Because it will seem when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, many in the professing church will be sleeping. Many saints and sinners will be found in that day, not watching. And I believe that we can take that truth from the parable of the 10 virgins. They all slumbered and slept. And yes, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish, 5 had oil in their lamps, but their vessels, 5 had no oil at all. And yet all of them were found sleeping. But of course, of those 10 virgins that slept and slumbered, and then were awakened by the cry that the bridegroom is coming, only 5 of them had oil in their lamps. Only 5 of them had that true saving grace of God in their hearts. And the others who professed to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ were found lacking, because they had no oil in their lamps, no grace of God in their hearts. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 13 and verses 11 to 14. And remember, he's writing a long time ago. How much more important is it for us today to pay attention to these words from Romans 13 verses 11 to 14. "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armour of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." Another aspect of watching is to be awake, not to sleep. Those of you who are in the workplace, if you fall asleep at work, you could get into trouble. For some of you, falling asleep would have been very dangerous when you were working. If you were driving a lorry and you fell asleep, that could be very dangerous. If you're operating machinery, that could likewise cause a great problem if you fall asleep. Perhaps for other of us, if we fell asleep when we were working at our desk, it might not be so serious. But it's still not advisable. But as a Christian, it is dangerous for us to fall asleep. It is dangerous to fall asleep and to fall into a lax and careless profession. Because while you sleep, Satan will steal in, and he will rob you of much of the joy and peace you had in believing. You remember in Pilgrim's Progress, when Pilgrim fell asleep, the roll representing the assurance of his salvation was stolen. To watch means to stay awake, to be alive. Jesus closes this passage by saying, verse 37, "And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." It's a warning for all of us to watch. It's not just the pastors, the ministers and the elders that need to be on their guard all the time, but we all need to watch. We need to watch over our family members and those whom God has entrusted to our care. Most especially, we need to watch over and jealously guard our own spiritual life and walk with God. And that was the burden of Paul again in writing to the Ephesians. He says, "Wherefore, he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." And then he writes, "See then that ye walk circumspectly." That means watchfully. "See then that ye walk watchfully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." And that is our task. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Our salvation, our final salvation, is nearer today than when we believed. That's true for all of us who have believed. Whether we die in Christ or whether Christ comes again, it's nearer now than when we believed. And so the apostle says, "Cast off, throw off the works of darkness, put on the armour of light. Walk honestly, but not in rioting or drunkenness, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And seek to walk in the light of his word. Subdue the evil deeds of the flesh. Pray for grace to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ, making sure you make good use of the time, because the days are evil." Dear children of God, watch, work, and pray, because the Lord Jesus Christ is on his way. Let us make sure that when he comes, he will find us serving the kingdom of God, prayerfully and expectantly looking for his appearing. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Amen.